Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I mute that too.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk.
I'm joined tonight by my lady, my love, my partner, my best friend, my wife. Hi, darling. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good being home tonight. So, yeah. So, it's just been an interesting couple of weeks with my travel, and I'm just glad to be home.
Yeah.
So, let's see, tonight, let's just go ahead and get straight to it, because we got a pretty interesting topic tonight.
We do, actually.
And we already have a caller.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, you know, we put out the word saying join in and, you know, join in the chat room or call in and join the party. And
amazingly, people do.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Well, this one's kind of related to us, but, you know, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of her favorite topics as well, so this should be an entertaining show tonight. And so tonight we're going to be talking about listening to our intuition and, you know, ways to recognize it and all the things that stop us from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it should be an interesting time, and we're joined tonight by PA Night Owl, Jackie Sutton.
Hey.
So let's go ahead and bring her in. Hi, darling. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to have
Good.
You with us.
Good.
Yeah.
It's an interesting night.
Yeah. Well, not as interesting
as
yesterday,
topic.
But.
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, I'm just glad to be here, okay?
I'm glad you're here, too.
Yeah. It's been a miraculous and roller coaster kind of week at your house.
Roller coaster?
Yes. As my grandson said, we don't have to go to an amusement park.
No amusement park.
We make our own. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I think he was telling me yesterday he's had all the roller coasters he can handle now. He's
yes.
done. You know?
Yes. Yes.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, for those of you who are not aware and who are not friends with any of us on Facebook, my my best buddy over there had a bit of a bump in her driving career and rolled her vehicle the other day and scared the hell out of everybody, but
particularly her passenger.
Yeah, her grandson who was in the car with her.
Yeah.
But the miracle of all miracles is that she's got some bumps and bruises and scrapes and nothing's broken. Nothing's really...
That's amazing.
It is more than amazing. It is more amazing than the time I saw the horse make you fly across the barn and you got up and weren't hurt. So I have no doubt in my mind that you are in some way superhuman.
We were a little airborne yesterday, too, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
as
any landing you can walk away from is a good landing.
Is a That's good it. Landing. Right. Right. But I did wait for the EMTs to get me out of the car because I wasn't sure at my age which of my bones had finally said, oh, we're going to break now.
Yeah.
But
nothing
broke.
Utterly amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm wondering if they're getting rubbery at this point. So
it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I know kids' bones are flexible. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
You know, kids' bones haven't hardened up yet. They're very rubbery. And that's the reason that kids survive all that they do. Because.
Well, I think
I'm amazed sometimes.
I'm young at heart. Does that count?
I'm sure it does. Well, did you have a happy thought when you were flying yesterday?
Actually, I did. It was one of those, it was almost like watching a movie, and you kind of step out of yourself, and you watch it go by, and you think, oh, shit, this is not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just wondered if you were having a Never Never Land moment where you were, you know,
the
little fairy
thing?
Dust and a happy thought, and you can fly.
All I can remember after the first two spins, the 360s, was the car started going up the bank, and I knew on the other side of that bank was a 30-foot drop down onto railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to go there. And the next thing I know, the car was flipping back down the hill.
Yeah.
So it didn't want to go over that bank either.
It's some sort of miracle, honestly, that you weren't hurt, honestly.
I know.
I said this to you last night, that Pop was there making sure that car didn't go any further.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm curious what the mechanics
are
going to have to say, because the car doesn't look nearly as torn up as your description makes it sound like it should be.
I know, and it has been totaled. The insurance inspectors were out today.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah, it did kind of bend the frame.
Yeah.
And it's the repairs to get it back to normal, more than what the value of the vehicle was.
Yeah.
So we're just...
So there we are.
There we are. Now I'm car hunting.
All right.
But I want the same kind.
Yeah.
I really liked the fact that we could walk away from that. If I had been in a small car, it would be a whole different story today.
Yep.
Well, this is true.
And what I didn't know was that...
Of course, if it had been a lower profile vehicle, it might not have rolled either, so...
Yeah, well, I probably would have been flying up over the bank. This had enough weight in it to stop it from going. But one of the things that I learned is that particular manufacturer and model had reinforced areas over the driver and front passenger seat, like roll bars actually built into the construction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you
Very
see
cool.
the car, it's from behind the driver's door, everything is buckled and smashed in. But right where that reinforcement is, we were in a pretty good position. And yes, we had seat belts on.
Yeah.
Well,
it would have been a
bubble,
different story.
Apparently.
So,
all right.
You know,
well, again, we're just glad you're here. And,
thank you.
Yeah, glad you could join us tonight.
Well, thank you guys for the help last night when you came over and kind of made sure I was functional.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and helped you answer the remote and everything.
Yeah. So, hey, come on.
He was on pain medication, for heaven's sake.
Yes.
He's never going to let you forget that.
That's my story. Yeah, I'm sticking to it.
Sticking to it, yeah.
I will be reminding you of that for years.
I know, but you better explain it to your audience. They have no idea why we are hysterical.
So she's trying to make a phone call yesterday. She picks up the TV remote and starts dialing.
Yes, I did. Yes,
and
I did. Okay.
The mayhem and laughter continued from there.
Yes.
So I answered the remote a couple of times and tried to hand it to her, and she slapped it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And he served it every single time.
All right.
Okay,
well,
but you know why?
You know
why this is all coming up? Is because 3 days ago,
yes,
or 2 days ago, before this accident happened, you and I sat in your dining room, and we talked about the fact that we both had a sense that there was something coming.
Well, all three of us did, because Robin and I talked about that during the day.
He and I talked about it that morning, because I came and saw you that evening. He and I were talking about it that morning on my drive on the way to work, how we both had this sense that something was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. But fortunately, it wasn't anything, you know, as bad as it could have been. And
that proves we should listen to our intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's one of the things, because I remember while I was in the moment and we were flipping through the air, there was no panic. I was very calm, and it was like, oh, shit, how do I get out of here, you know? And
like
I did the right things. Yeah. I did the right things to have the car do what it did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things we've talked about for years is the fact that when we talk to our deities, we don't ask for favors or gifts or, you know, please intercede and make the world right for me. Mostly our prayer, if you want to call it that, is tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I need to know. And sometimes you get an intuition. You don't know really what it means, but it puts you on point. It gets you to a state of awareness that something may be coming. And when you get those, and like you said, we had talked about it a few days ago, I think the whole, from that conversation on, I think all of us were kind of on that watchful point in our lives as to, okay, what's coming next? Something's coming next.
Well,
and,
I mean, ask Robin. My first comment to her, when we both acknowledged that we had that feeling, I said, "Check on the old lady."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
You know, I mean, that was my first thought, was check on Jackie.
Mhm. Yeah.
So something in there had already told me it was related to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, you know, but when everything was okay with you, I didn't think it was coming 2 days, 3 days later, you know?
Right. Yeah, intuition is something that works in the mysterious ways. Sometimes you'll get a flash ahead of time. Sometimes it'll be more specific. And sometimes it revolves around people you meet or know. And at that point, it's kind of like a hint from the universe saying, get yourself in gear and be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. You know, fair warning. And I think it's kind of a handy little thing that we have in our psyches.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
If it had been a
yeah.
day earlier when you did that, I wouldn't have been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I wouldn't
have
walked in the door 15 minutes after you got home.
Right, right, right.
Because I was out of town. So I drove back in yesterday and happened to be here. So
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that we, all three of us, knew enough to recognize the difference between having a stray and random thought and the fact that this was a message, this was an intuition. And I know how I know the difference, but Jackie, what has been your experience with knowing the difference between having some stray random thought and an intuitive sense or feeling?
The intuitive sense doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
It hangs with you. It becomes ingrained in the back of your awareness. And it's kind of like an alarm clock. Sometimes people will wake up before the alarm goes off because you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sleep through it or hit the snooze button, it'll go away, but it'll come on back. So it's like a little alarm button that just makes you feel, I better watch for something. I'd better be on my toes. I'd better be aware of my surroundings.
So you're saying you hit the snooze button, but you can't turn it off.
Right, right.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, for me, there's actually a physical sensation.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Okay.
You know, I actually have a physical sensation in the back of my neck right around C3.
Okay.
And that, it's the African diasporic call that sensation in the neck there in that area where the spirit is riding you, is how they refer to that.
Right.
And the first time I described that to someone that followed an African diasporic path, they said, well, you're being ridden by spirit. I was like, okay, that sounds a little frightening, and, you know, in the moment. But now that I understand it, that is the message that spirit uses to tell me this is me. Hey, dummy, you know.
Right, right.
And so I have that physical sensation that cues me that this is not my random BS or my random worries or my concern for my loved ones. This is message. Pay attention,
well,
dummy.
How many times have you seen people or heard people and had the experience yourself when you're maybe in a group or you're in a class working and something is said that sends a chill up the back of your neck, like, oh, my goodness, this is a truth I have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And it hits in that area. I always picture it as coming from the top chakra, as it being, you know, in that third eye, all of a sudden being activated and focused, and it sends that little nerve down your neck.
Yeah, that kundalini.
Right.
Well, for me, usually there's two physical sensations that usually correspond. I'll have a sense of opening of my third eye chakra and a connection of the chakras down the center midline of my body, and then I'll actually have a little bit of mild nausea that'll go with it as well, kind of like a queasy feeling, just in passing. And I'll know this is the difference. And it's just a different, it's like somebody just pulled a veil back and you suddenly have a sense of something.
And I think we're lucky that we're close enough so that when it's happening, we can kind of voice it and then have it confirmed or
mm-hmm.
or validated.
Okay.
But at the time, it's one of those things that sometimes I tend to question very deeply when I get one of those feelings when I'm meeting a new person or I'm hearing
mm-hmm.
a new teacher talk.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that, you know, in my whole being reacts to, wait a minute, this is something I should pay attention to, or wait a minute, this is BS, I should get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so I think part of it is intuition a fact? Do witches tend to use it and take it more seriously than others? I think so. I think we do. Because we're always reaching out to... Yes, yes. But we're always reaching out to our surroundings, to our... to grounding in the earth, to... And you know, that's where all the energy comes from. So when we're utilizing it and the intuition is there, I think maybe we kind of use it a little differently.
I'm going to reach out on a limb here and say that I think everyone gets these moments and these feelings.
Oh, yeah. I do, too.
We pay attention because we are trained to pay attention. We pay attention
right.
because we're open to the concept. But that doesn't
yes.
mean that we get them necessarily more.
No,
I just think
no,
that we
no.
we certainly, we are connected. We do, like you said, reach out and allow ourselves to be open to sensations beyond the physical senses.
But we
and
also
we recognize
delve into
the validity of
we that. Also, yes, we also dig it out. We pick it up. We turn it over. We look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We discuss
mm-hmm.
it. And in doing that, I think we strengthen our awareness. But
I think the key right there is strengthening our awareness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we recognize the validity of it
mm-hmm.
initially.
Mm-hmm.
We don't question
right.
it immediately. We question whether or not this is in
right.
this moment, this particular instance, is this really intuition, is this really message, or is this a stray thought? But that's part of the initial question, whereas people that don't recognize our kinds of expression of faith tend to discount it immediately and just go on.
Right.
So
right.
our recognition of the validity of it at all strengthens our ability to use it.
I agree. I think one of the things that, you know, as we are going through our studies and we study many religions and many experiences of people who have written through the years, we don't automatically disbelieve. But we also don't automatically believe everything we're told. There is a doubting in ourselves, but I think at some point we get to a place where we recognize that within ourselves and our own experiences, we validate for ourselves and then we share and validate for others. You know,
mm-hmm.
I remember my grandmother, she was infamous for saying, so-and-so is going to show up. And this is 60 years ago. There was no internet. There was, you know, you didn't get on the phone all the time. But she would know when people were coming to visit.
Mm.
Maybe she hadn't talked to them in years. Or she would talk about somebody and all of a sudden find out something about them that she needed to know.
Yeah.
So she was kind of keyed into family.
Mm-hmm.
And she would get these intuitions, but she wouldn't hide them. She would voice them. And the rest of the family got to depend on her expertise.
Right.
Because she showed us that it worked. So when you get to that point and you have someone showing you that it works, then when you start developing your own senses and using them within your craft, within your life, because I can't see the life separated from the craft, you just take it for, almost take it for granted. But the fact that three of us had the agita caused by the intuition this week, and then, you know, finding yourself right in the middle of this happening, I don't know. It kind of gives you a strength to get through it and know that, all right, this was, I was warned about this. This was not going to be horrendous, but pay attention. You know, so, you know, I'm in the hospital and they're asking me questions and checking things out and doing x-rays and all this, and I'm saying, I really want a cup of coffee. I mean, that's what I'm worried about. I need a cup of coffee. I haven't had enough coffee today. Yeah, and
you people
so they're
need
looking
her
at
to
me.
Have her coffee.
Yes. So, you know, I'm
give
I'm,
the woman her coffee.
I'm
you'll
the,
be safer.
That's right. And so, you know, they're saying, well, how, you know, you've just been through this. Why aren't you panicking? Why aren't you melting down? Why aren't you really upset about bashing up the car? Well, you know, shit happens. Got through it. In some level of my being, I was prepared for it.
Yeah.
And came through it okay and going, wow. But at least now I know what we were all having, these little twinges of intuition.
Yeah.
And I really wish
break.
It would be able to, it would really be nice if it was written out clearly, specifically, this is what's going to happen. But all it says is prepare you. That's all.
Yeah.
You know. All right, well, we're almost at the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about how we can tell the difference. I mean, we've talked a little bit. But I've got a couple of things I want to throw out there and then get the rest of y'all to give your take on it. But right now, we're going to play a song by Dave the Bard called Antlered Crown and Standing Stone. Many of you know that's one of my standby songs, and that's just one of my favorites, so indulge me. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes. Stick around.
I can hear the
I am the face within the leaf. I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand, and everywhere that I have been, my passing turns to gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken, and oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal forever. tree, fallen leaf, the time of the winter queen. But through the wind and snow and rain, know that a part of me remains. Holly stands evergreen.
International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
And we would like to thank our friends over at International Pagan Radio for that message.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you for Virginia.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under the shady tree with Terry and Robin, and tonight with Jackie. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, honey.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, we're here.
All right. So before the break, we were talking about intuition and listening to our intuition. We were talking about, or I kind of hinted that I had some ideas about how we can tell the difference. For those that don't necessarily follow our expressions of faith, that haven't had that time and experience with it, someone that's new, I always talk about divination as a pre-agreed upon language that we will use with the divine to get messages. And you know, whether it's tarot and we decide this card means this and we agree with spirit, that's what it's going to mean. So that's what that's how we interpret that card. I think that by listening and paying attention and by being aware of those physical sensations that we were talking about, that's the way spirit tells me, and I understand that, and we've agreed to it, and boom, that sensation in the back of my neck is, this is a message. So what are some of the other ways that we can kind of cue into when it's intuition and when it's just something else?
I don't know that there is a something else. I think we're always on at that point of receiving. But when it's something that is maybe particularly out of sync that we need to know about, I think it gets stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're always receptors. I wouldn't know how to turn it off. And even having random thoughts, sometimes a random thought, and it doesn't mean anything to you at the time, and then months later something will come up and it will click that, oh, I understand that, or, oh, I know that.
Okay, so it's kind of like Hevia speaking to God one-on-one throughout Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah.
It's just this constant communication with the divine in every action and every thought and every moment.
I think so.
Okay.
You know, I it's kind of when we talk about, you know, practicing as a witch or living as a witch. I think there's two different things. You can do a witchy practice. You can practice as a certain religion. You can read all the books on it and understand it, but actually living with it constantly, there is no break.
Yeah.
It's always there with you.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I don't know how else to put it. It's walking your path and living your path is important. And there are benefits within that maybe because it's happening all the time on different levels, depending on the situations, maybe we tend to overlook a lot of it.
Or take some of it for granted.
Yes.
It's just so much a part of every day.
Yes.
No, I mean, I do follow what you're saying, and there are those of us that just live it every day. There is no difference between when we're doing something in daily life and when we're just, you know, when we're practicing our faith. It just all runs together.
Yeah,
in the garden becomes spiritual when you allow it to be.
Right. I remember telling
every task.
Yeah, I remember telling a friend of mine because she said she really didn't know how to get in touch with her goddess, and I said to her, "Well, don't you work with your horses every day? You brush them?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, that's part of getting in touch with her while you're doing that." And she really looked at me like I was nuts, but she says, "You mean
well,
I don't
are.
Have to have the? Yes, I am. You mean I don't have to be in front of an altar? I don't have to have these robes on?" And I went, "No, you don't have to do any of that. Just be aware of your deities and talk to them. You know, when you've got something to do and it's kind of a rote thing that you're doing and it doesn't take a lot of thought." So where's your mind going then? Well, why don't you talk with deity?
Mm-hmm.
That helps, you know?
That's why I know it
sounds simplistic.
Oh, but it is. It is.
Yeah.
I love being out on the tractor mowing because everything else is outside.
Yeah.
You know, the noise and the noise of the tractor and the the smell of the grass and just everything around me. I'm just surrounded by nature and there's nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an
there's
amazing
no distraction.
Sensation for me.
I don't know how to explain it to someone who is looking for, you know, the special words or the special actions or the special clothes in order to do what we do.
Or a burning bush to recognize the message.
Right. Just, it becomes so much a part of who you are and how much the deities are part of our lives that it's just a very calm, constant flow. And did I always think this way? Did I always know this? No, when I was much younger, I was so scattered. But, you know, you study, you work with, and you come to a point where you can kind of read the signs and feel more comfortable in doing what you're doing, whatever it is you're doing.
Did you eat anything? It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
No, I mean, I get it completely, Dud. From my very young age, I've kind of known there was something more out there than I was being taught. And so I started off with that kind of level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 20-odd years, I have, you know, walked this path. And,
yeah,
I think I am probably better at it now than I was then.
You understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
You
because
understand
every experience
it,
adds
yeah.
to that level of understanding.
Right.
And
right.
You know, and that's the big key for us in our expressions of faith is we talk about the experience. We
right.
encourage the experience. We're not waiting
right.
for it to be revealed or read it
no.
in a book. We experience it. Our faith is our experience, our connection to the divine.
Yeah.
And, you know, that experiential path leads us to some amazing opportunities for understanding, for growth, for developing this connection and developing our intuition.
Right. I so agree with that. And it's one of the things, like, and as we've talked before, one of our jobs as teachers is to share that validation with others as we talk about not something we read in a book, but something we experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell our stories, someone listens, they hear it, and they can say, I know this, I understand that, it's happened to me. Yes, and then when you find out that it's happened to a lot of people without them really absorbing what's going on. But as we talk about it and we go deeper into our experiential situations individually, we also can share that and know that it's part of a larger picture.
Right, and we can
and
listen to others' experiences
well.
And say, yes, I've...
Right.
And let
yeah.
them know that they are taking a step, that they're
mm-hmm.
that their experiences are valid and...
Yes.
And
yes.
wonderful in their own way.
Yeah. And I think that's a marvelous thing. It makes me smile. It makes my heart happy.
All right. So.
Okay.
Last thing. Why is it so hard for us, even us, to, I mean, because like you said, we question, is
yeah.
that really, you know, is that my ego? Am I off on a tangent? Or is this spirit? Or is this a message? Is this intuition? Or is it just my ego? Why
well,
is it so hard to, go ahead.
I think sometimes ego gets in our way. in many instances of our lives, not just in our spiritual. Mm-hmm. But ego can lead you down a really rocky path just because it's, ego is selfish. And it wants to have your whole attention. And it wants to have total control. Well, if anybody has total control over anything in this world, I wish they would tell me how they did it. Because there's so many variables. And that's part of our teachings and what we understand of our environment and the surroundings, that nothing is laid out in a clear, untrampled path. The biggest thing we have to know is that change happens. And what we knew as children is going to change. What we knew as young adults, what we knew as parents, what we knew is coming into the crone and sage stages. There's a lot that we carry with us, but some of it we don't understand until we reach those stages. I mean, mm-hmm. we can look at it from afar and go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But to really be empathetic with some things, you just don't get it till you've been there.
Yeah, you have to experience it. There's that experience thing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And some experiences I wish I'd never had to go through, but
think of how much wiser you are today than you were yesterday morning.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just very content to be here and aching a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not in a hospital. I think I got through that pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And
somebody
did I
told
thank
me one time
deity?
That we hurt. Yeah, that hurting helps us to know we're alive.
I'm alive. I'm alive. And painkillers help us to deal with it sometimes.
Yes, they do.
Doesn't always stop the pain, but the give a shit.
Right. Yeah, the give a shit button gets pressed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think people underestimate their intuition. And sometimes while the intuition may be there, they don't have the experience to interpret it. And you're not going to know everything all at once, but there's enough with the connection that puts you on alert. Be aware. It's kind of like the, you know, first warning system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the bells start ringing.
Well, you mentioned when you're meeting someone or listening to someone for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling of, ooh, this is there's truth here, or there's bullshit here.
Yes.
And
yes.
Trusting ourselves in that initial moment.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we'll discount that. We'll say, oh, you know, I'm just, you know, I didn't like the way they were dressed, or I'm just being egotistical, or
mm-hmm.
I'm being this, or I'm any number of reasons why we will discount that initial feeling.
I know.
And very often that's to our detriment, because that initial feeling is there for a reason.
Well,
we should trust.
Yeah, trust. That's the key. With your experience, and you know it has worked for you before, and now you're in a similar situation and you're getting those same feelings. If you've had the experience of being burned, if you didn't pay attention,
mm-hmm.
the next time you're not quite as susceptible to someone manipulating, you know?
Yeah.
So our our susceptibility. I can remember as when my kids were small and telling them stories. And my oldest daughter, who is very literal, let's put it that way. And I remember talking about the Christmas story and the Christ being born in a barn and laid in a manger. And she said to me, "What's a manger?" And I said, "Well, you know, that wooden thing where they put the hay in." And she's looking at me, and I'm saying, "Yeah, that's, and he was born in the barn." And she said, "Well, all that cow flop." I went, "Yes, I would assume there were droppings in the barn. There were animals there, yes." So she looked at me like I was telling her this really strange story, like who would want to go sleep in a barn with the cow shit? You know, well, you know my Lori, she still does that.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising she grew up to be a nurse.
Right, right. And so I'm, you know, at 4 years old, she was doing this, okay, my experience with a barn is this.
Mm-hmm.
She had been in a barn. She had been stepping in cow flop and you know,
yeah,
mucking out horse stalls. So that nice little story became something totally different in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's looking at me like, "You are trying to hand me a pile of horse shit."
Mm-hmm.
And I went, "Okay."
Well, in their theology, though, you have to understand that that is the point of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, sure.
You know,
sure.
You know, mm-hmm, that level of humility in the birth is part of their story.
Right.
So.
Right. Right.
And she took it exactly the way the story was intended. Truthfully.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
People gloss over that part of the story, but that's actually,
yeah, yeah,
in that theology, that is exactly the point of the story. So
right,
she actually picked up on the point of it quick.
Yes.
But she had,
yes,
that experience. A lot of people hear that story, they have, you know, they're
no
city
experience.
Dwellers. They got no experience,
mm-hmm,
with this whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, and I remember them, they used to, when they were younger, if they wanted to go to a church or a Bible camp with their friends, I let them. So they had a wide exposure to different religions, practices. And the one time they came home and they were talking about God helped, and I can't even remember who it was. Some war they were having, and God lit the foxtails on fire and let them run through the fields and burn down all the crops.
Hmm.
Now, I have a different experience because I know foxtails are plants. And yes, you could set them on fire and cause havoc. I did not see any God that I know going around lighting fire to foxtails, to real live little fox. But
yeah, that doesn't sound like any story I've read or been told or anything.
Yeah,
so that one's
yeah,
that one baffles me too.
Yeah, I'm looking at it like, all right, it would have been okay to just say, and they burned the fields. Why they had to put in foxtails, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as part of a war, yeah, they burned the fields. But did they set the little foxes on fire to do it? No.
No, I don't even recall that story, and I know those stories pretty well, and that
yeah,
one's a
I'm
new
trying
one.
To, I'm trying to think of who it was, and it's not Samson, but it's one of the big guys who is, you
I'll,
know,
I'll,
a great warrior.
I will
Lord.
Find out, because that's got me
please
that's
do.
Got me curious.
Please do. It was, it
yeah,
was
and
really...
I'm guessing that whoever was giving this to the children misinterpreted something.
Yeah. Either that or they were reading from a book that used that terminology.
Yeah.
Right.
Or they actually
and they
believed
misinterpreted
that
fox tails for fox's tails.
Right, right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, well, ladies, we are 5 minutes away from the top of the hour.
Okay.
This hour has flown by. Jackie, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Jackie, thank you.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Oh,
I'm gonna go
always.
Take some of those
you know you're
pills.
Welcome anytime. Yeah.
Okay, hon. I'll talk to you later. Bye, everybody. Love
bye.
You.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right. Robin, would you do me a favor and tell all of our listeners how they can get in touch with us?
Sure. They can reach us at Littlestone Bridge. Think for a second. Littlestone Bridge. At gmail.com. That's our email address. They can also reach us on Facebook at Robin A. McKean or Rev Terry Power HP. Also, those are our individual Facebook pages. They can also reach us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page. Little Stone Bridge is the organization through which Terry and I offer workshops, classes, counseling, health coaching, life coaching, a myriad of services. So please feel free to give us a call. Also, we have an event coming up. If you'd like to come and meet Terry and I, it's an event being held by Hands of Change Coven in New Jersey. And they're a rather large organization. They've been around for 20 years. And I've known the principals of the coven for almost that amount of time. Awesome people. And they are going to be doing a really fun event. It's going to be a Sumerian-themed Ren Fair kind of thing. So people will come, and you'll find people there who are dressed up like Sumerian gods in costumes, and there'll be a town square where you can do shopping, and there'll be a Sumerian feast on Saturday night, which the price of the feast is included in your price of admission.
There's also a full moon ritual on Friday night.
Full moon ritual on Friday night. It's going to just be so much fun. I am so excited. These are such great people. They are working so hard at this, and it's going to be on beautiful private land in central New Jersey, fairly close to, you know, all kinds of amenities, supermarkets, and it's just about, less than a mile from Route 9. If anybody knows New Jersey, it's in the Marlboro area, off of Route 9. So if you can, if you're interested and you'd like to find out more information about this, go to handsofchange.org. And it's all one word, hands, like the hands you cook with or
clap with.
Clap with, yeah. Hands of Change. And it's just a great event. That'll be the weekend of June 10th.
8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yep, 8th, 9th, and 10th, and again in New Jersey. So please give them a call. Very reasonable admission, and just going to be a blast. I think there may also be a play. They've got very ambitious workshops. Owl, who was just on the show this evening, will be a presenter at the event, as will Terry and I, and some other great presenters yet to be announced.
Actually, I was wrong. It's 9, 10, 11.
Oh, 9, 10, 11. Okay. I thought the 10th was a Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, but the full moon ritual is on Friday night, the 9th.
Yep.
So check in early, and if you're dressed as a Sumerian, you get a free crescent roll.
Woohoo! Free crescent rolls for everybody.
Fertile crescent.
Yeah,
Sumeria. Come on, guys.
Yeah, come on. They are so fun and creative, these people. So just come on out and have a blast.
With a great sense of humor. It's going to be a fun time. There's going to be drumming. There's going to be rituals. There's
going
to be feasting. There's going to be stuff for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a
kids
track.
So you can bring your kids. It's not going to be, it's not going to be, like a bunch of debauchery. It's going to be a family-friendly event. So come on out with the family and enjoy.
And if anybody remembers in New Jersey, the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance used to hold Beltane rituals in the Brendan Burns State Forest. We're going to be having a reunion of that festival inside the Ishtar Festival. So if you all come who used to be there, and you mention the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance event, during your registration, you can get $10 off registration. So save yourself $10, but also know that you have to have been there, because I know everybody personally who went to that event, since it was my event. I ran it with the help of other people, but the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance was an organization that I helped found, and we held that event in Brendan Byrne State Forest for 10 years straight. So if you were somebody who went to that event, then please, by all means, show up, and we will love to see you there. And we're going to have our own little special get-together inside the event, which should be a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thanks, everyone, for being with us tonight. If you need us, just get in touch with us any of the ways that you were just informed. And, you know, we'll come speak at your event. Or if you need, you know, any of our services, just get in touch. Thanks, everybody, for being with us tonight, and remember to listen. You know, the catch line for this show is sit down, shut up, and listen. And I have been teaching that for 10 years now. If you listen to the voice of the divine, you will get the guidance you need.
Absolutely.
And with that, we will wish you a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.